This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. One-on-one with Roz J. Baraka, candidate for mayor, Newark, New Jersey. Newark's South Ward councilman and principal at Central High School, long-term activist and son of poet activist Amina and Amiri Baraka, wants to become Newark, New Jersey's 39th mayor. Baraka explained, "I would have been comfortable staying in the city council. A lot can be accomplished there, but Mayor Cory Booker is making a run for the Senate, and our city is at a crossroads. The plan is for me to run for mayor."
With 50% of Newark's residents living below the poverty line, and with an unemployment rate of 29%, we'll find out how candidate Baraka believes he can transfer the city's resources to benefit everyday working people.
But first, we're going to hear a statement of sorts from Roz J. Baraka.
September 4th, 1973. James Shabazz, assistant to Malcolm X, was driving home to Harlem, where he lived with his wife and 13 children, when he was struck over his left eye by gunfire. 2 weeks later, Roger and Ralph Bankston were found dead in Weekway Park in Newark, both shot to death. Michael A. Hope, Warren Moralo, found murdered, both heads decapitated. March 25th, 1965, Viola Luiso, white civil rights worker from Detroit, was assassinated while driving down a highway in Alabama. A man was charged, Gary Thomas Rowe, Jr., high-level FBI informant in the KKK. February 21, 1965, in Harlem, in the Audubon Ballroom, Malcolm X was murdered by the Bureau of Special Services. Watched. In Chicago, Black Panther Party leaders Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed December 4th, 1969, in a pre-dawn raid. Both were key COINTELPRO targets. April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King was shot dead in Memphis while standing on a hotel balcony. Months earlier, the FBI sent King messages urging him to kill himself. 2 months later, Robert F. Kennedy.
Well, I'll tell you, I hate to fade that down at all. It's 6 minutes of history, and the history of police violence and the history of COINTELPRO, and it is a reflection of the poetry of the politics of our one-on-one conversation with Roz J. Baraka from what I think is really a spectacular album, and there are very few copies, but I still have it, and that is Shorty for Mayor. And Roz, when was that actually produced?
Wow.
Wow.
I was in the 90s, you know, that was a while ago, you know. I was just out of college, not too long out of college when we put that together, yeah.
Well, you did a brilliant job, and in some way it reflects your history of activism and your concern and your feeling for your people, and even as a precursor to the fact that you became an educator and have spent at least, 20 years now in the Central High School as a principal?
Well, I've been an educator for that long in the district. I've been at Central High School specifically for about 5 years. I've been a principal, you know, a little longer than that, and a vice principal for over 10 years. I mean, administrative for 10 years and a teacher first. So I've been an educator for about 21 years.
Well, we're going to go back to that, but it's ironic in some ways that the CD was called Shorty for Mayor. I don't know if it was referring to you, but one thing is for sure, you are a candidate, and this is almost a prophetic time given Cory Booker's run for the Senate. But I want to go there. Ken and I were delighted when a comrade, certainly somebody I've known for a long time. Chokwe Lumumba won as mayor. Good gracious, we're a Jackson, Mississippi. But right. similarly, I've always been enormously skeptical, minus maybe Harold Washington, etc. Very, very few indications that progressives working in the electoral arena can somehow not succumb to the inherent, really, corruption of the party-based system and the fact that we really inherit a plutocracy. So I'm really interested in why you choose to go in that direction of mayor of Newark and how you think progressives can use the electoral arena to progress the agenda of really the working class.
Well, really, you know, even the whole, you know, the thing Shorty for Mayor, almost like a parody, but, you know, because when we were younger, we called each other Shorty. It was a name that we gave to one another. What's up, Shorty? Kind of like, you know, regular working people growing up in a community calling themselves that, saying that we needed to seize power in some instance, and that's what that was about. Most of the rallies and protests that I participated in as a college student and even thereafter, most of the time we marched on City Hall or we marched downtown toward the apparatus of government or the economic center of the town. So at some point we realized that there is some level of power there and some, you know, most of the things that we're fighting are either court-based or law-based or governmental-based. And our idea was to seize power, not just yell at it. So at some point in my life, I began to get involved in electoral politics, not just the kind of community politics. And the idea was that we began to change or transform our lives by seizing the power that exists in the community, whether it be financial power or political power, the ability to give jobs or the ability to create jobs or develop the school system or transform the school system, the kind of say-so over economic development to determine the minimum wage in New Jersey. We'll be fighting right now and over whether people should have an increased minimum wage or not, which affects working people's quality of life and their families and the ability to feed their families. So that's a discussion that we need to be in, and we need to have the authority to do something about it other than just, you know, talk about it intellectually. We should be able to actually do something physically about transforming, you know, people's ability to earn a higher wage. I mean, that besides pensions, besides public workers and unions, there's a myriad of things that I could discuss that, you know, these people have had power and authority over, you know, governing and controlling our lives and making it either quality or terrible. And I think that engaging in a political arena gives us the ability to kind of fight these people on a level that they have accepted, at least.
Oh, come to New York and help us out. Thank you so much for enunciating that. Maybe Newark will be an example for us. I wanted to expand on one of the questions that we posed in the introduction, given the poverty rate in Newark and the unemployment rate. You had said that you wanted to transfer the city's resources to benefit everyday working people. You talked a little bit about minimum wage before I came in. Expand on that whole concept. What kind of resources are there in Newark to be transferred, and how would you do that?
Well, all of the resources anywhere belong to the people. I mean, for the most part, and it's a constant battle between the private and public sector around, you know, the resources that exist. And even now when marketplaces, when the market is becoming diminished here and you go overseas and, you know, this whole neoliberal thing, the public sector is the last kind of market that exists in this country, and the attack on public schools, the attack on public employees, you know, just the coffers of the public sector is up for grabs by, you know, the kind of private sector, whether you're talking about sanitation workers or you're talking about city workers or whatever it is. You know, for example, the city budget in Newark, of course, is not as large as New York's, but the city budget in Newark is, you know, substantial. And then if you add the school budget to that, that's over $1 billion. So, I mean, that in and of itself is enough for people to get contracts, to get the different things that they want to get their hands on. And they're fighting to privatize all of those things. And then, you know, it's a struggle to keep those things public and democratic and in the sphere of the people that, so we can have a say-so over that. Besides the fact that there is a lot of other resources, whether you're talking about the port, the airport, the seaport, the transportation system, all of these things, the water, are in the hands of the people, you know, by right and by law. And every day, you know, they chip away and try to take these resources, and these resources are not leveraged to benefit, you know, working people, whether it be through the creation of jobs for people that are there, or the actual wealth that's created by those industries. Are the money and the resources not used to improve the life of people who live in these communities every day?
One of the areas that I want to hit on, of course, New York sits glibly back and looks with a certain complacency at the presumed crime rate in Newark. And there's no doubt in my mind, certainly, that if our police commissioner were in Newark, that stop and frisk, which certainly I consider to be one of the most pernicious, virulent forms and expressions of government racism towards communities of color, would be certainly alive and well. But I do want to get to the issue and not for one moment forgive the policing apparatus and their response to people of color in Jersey and in Newark. So what do you think the issues are there as you would expound upon as a candidate for mayor, as differentiated in many ways, I dare say, from Cory Booker?
You mean, are we talking specifically about crime?
I think we're talking more about the police. I think the crime of the police and the way they police our communities.
Right. Well, I think that the police are definitely organized to protect property and protect, you know, the state. And I think for the most part, their relationship to working people in these communities have always been one of fear and stereotype that's created by a larger superstructure that is, you know, organized or characterized people that live in these communities as criminals. And so their job has been to subdue criminals in these communities. And I think that their everyday life in the community helps to feed that kind of stereotype as well. And so some of these police officers even are just, you know, in Newark are working people here trying to get jobs. And they think being a police officer is a good paying kind of established job in the city, and so they began to get those jobs, and you know you get a good pension, you get kind of the life and health insurance, all of that stuff is important, and then the struggle for to make police officers actually live in the area where they police is a struggle. I think that's happening all over the nation, and here in Newark we've been trying to fight for more officers to live and be a part of this community, because ultimately we need officers that are, you know, community friendly, that are, you know, that are present and with the community, and not look at the community as you know, a place where they have to occupy. They look at it as a place that they live and they have to live in and they have to protect. I mean, and that's number one. So the general issues that are in society or in all jobs affect the police department, which is racism, homophobia, all kinds of specific issues like that. This kind of patriarchy is in the police department as it is in any other kind of institution in America. The only problem is that they have the ability and the force to carry guns and police you. So that's what makes it that much more dangerous. And so it makes it important for us to have police officers that are, you know, community friendly and understand what's going on, that are not racist, that are not homophobic, that do not have these specific issues. It makes it that much more important. And I think the way we look at crime and the kind of things that are happening in these communities and violence is important as well. So if we look at the root of crime, not just as people who are unruly and disrespect the ideas of law and want to commit this kind of heinous violence all the time, and look at it as an outgrowth of poverty and the conditions of a system that has not been able to take care of the most needy amongst them, we begin to look at crime and violence as a public health issue, we begin to treat it in a holistic fashion differently than just throwing more police at it. We begin to treat it with social service programs. We begin to treat it with employment, with increased minimum wage, with mentorship programs, with all kinds of specific things that we know that communities need without those things, families are falling apart. People are unemployed, sense of hopelessness that creates this atmosphere for crime and violence that are happening all over the country. So if we begin to look at it differently, I think we begin to approach it differently. That's the first step, is to label it the right way.
You obviously have had wide experience in the system of education and knowledge that is not part of just the direct result of your stewardship of the schools there. Recently, as a council person, you sponsored, and it was accepted in the city council, a bill to state the city council has no confidence in the administration of the city school system in Newark, which is actually run by the state. What would you do different as mayor?
We've been run by the state. First, we need to get the school system back. So that's number one. We need to restore local control and give the people the democratic rights back. And this whole struggle to this so-called school reform, to me, has just been a kind of land grab, and it's happening all over the country, an opportunity, as I spoke about earlier, to raid the coffers of the public sector, to take the $1 billion and use it for their own personal patronage. It's been a fight over real estate and a fight over the resources that exist. So this whole kind of charter school movement, the corporate charter school movement, has been designed really to diminish and destroy public schools, and it's just like a proliferation of charters in our communities that have no kind of direct oversight whatsoever and not any real public input, is really affecting the strength of a democratic public school system. That plus this whole vouchers and, everything that's happening in New York City is being transplanted to Newark in terms of the co-locations, the proliferation of charter schools, the closing schools down. You know, first of all, I think that closing down schools is tantamount to me of closing a hospital, or closing things like that. We need our schools open, not closed. And the way to fix schools is to get in there and begin to provide the necessary staff development for teachers to make sure the kids have a strong and engaging curriculum that they can see they self in, that's relevant and rigorous. It's about building strong schools where they are, not closing them down. And this whole move to close schools down around the country is just really a design to get those buildings and resources. And so the argument about improving public schools we have never really gotten to the real base of it, which is improving the instruction in the classroom, giving teachers quality staff development, making sure the curriculum is aligned and relevant. All we've been really talking about is locations of buildings, closing schools down, sending money from the public sector to charters or to vouchers. We have not been talking about improving the quality of education in individual students' classes, and I think that's important. The mayor got $100 million from the corporate sector and got it matched and used that money to affect the teacher contract. He used that money for public relations for the superintendent, and gave small amounts in grants to teachers. So $200 million in the school system should be disruptive. So that money wasn't used extensively for after-school programming, for improving teacher quality by giving them quality staff development. It wasn't used, to help students go on more trips or provide them quality experiences that they would not have gotten without that money or in a regular school day. So all of those things are important. Instead, it was used to kind of further this charter voucher trend that's going on in the nation to kind of undermine public education and push for this, what they call a portfolio of schools, which is this marketplace idea, the neoliberal marketplace idea that the market is going to solve all social ills if we just give people a check and let them buy an education off of the market, which is inherently wrong in my mind, and it treats our children as widgets as opposed to human beings, and understanding that we can't, that our families deserve a strong, centralized, public school system that they have a say-so in and that they can control, as opposed to a bunch of small schools that are governed by this corporation or this individual or that individual or this management firm or this group.
You know, one of the things that certainly Mayor Bloomberg and most of the mayors really in New York have immersed themselves in international issues, generally through their support of Zionist of Zionism in Israel and a number of other ways as well, generally in line with the, whatever the current administration in Washington is. And I am wondering, this may seem to be a bit off base, but I don't really believe so. The role of a progressive elected official in a city like Newark, a position like mayor, how do you see, or do you at all, really, a stance on what has happened internationally? And we can go back from the liberatory movements in Africa to the kind of neocolonialist establishment of regimes in Africa to, indeed, in the world communities, Cuba, etc. Any role that you think that there is some sort of obligation or responsibility to look at in the broader kind of picture of how resources are used and indeed what the public posture of a country is?
Well, I think that as a mayor of especially an urban community like this, when there's you know, instability in places around the world, and the economic practices, the kind of neoliberal practices that are happening, you know, internationally affect working people there, they wind up in our cities. And we ultimately, they become citizens or residents of our neighborhoods and our communities and become a part of the fabric and the life of our city. And so their concerns become our concerns. And, you know, a lot of folks are running from economic instability, from totalitarian governments or from places like that. So that becomes our business because they become our residents. So it becomes our business to make sure that, you know, America is treating the rest of the world fairly, and that the practices that are happening internationally are ones that are progressive and democratic in ways that we support and agree with. So anybody, for example, at the school that I'm at now, and as a principal, we have about 12, 13 different nationalities from around the world that are here, whether you're talking about Haiti or places on the continent of Africa, to, you know, Ecuador and Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and all kinds of places like that, you know. So the world is, you know, in our city. So it's, we represent the world as the mayor of Newark. You represent all of those nationalities, and it becomes very important about what's happening around. What we have Palestinians as well as people from young people from Afghanistan, young people from all over the country, all over the world, is here in our city. So, I mean, the concerns that are happening around the world become our concerns in our city.
And I guess we should say as much, for we only have a few minutes left. Time goes entirely too quickly, and we need to have you back. We really want to preview the person who's going to be the next mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Want to find out more about why you ran on, are going to run on an independent line. I'm sure that there is an empathy for significant, meaningful immigration reform, but why don't we give you the last 2 minutes to really just open mic and you tell us what you think is of critical importance to you.
Well, to me, of course, I mean, one of the major things that we're talking about is employment, jobs, and small business development, these kinds of specific things that are affecting our family's quality of life. I mean, we have an incredibly disproportionate amount of people that are unemployed, and the people that are employed are receiving minimum wage, and families are crumbling. And as a result of that, all of the other issues of crime, of education, and of higher education, and all those are affected by our people's inability to find a decent a job that pays them a living wage, a prevailing wage. And it's important that we begin to, you know, begin to find and create jobs for people in these communities and begin to get these, the corporate sector to pay their fair share and get them to be a part of a democratic city where we all collectively trying to improve each other's lives and not one trying to get rich at the expense or at the demise of people's specific families. And so that's important that we begin to develop a city that way. And I think we have an opportunity in Newark to attack poverty without attacking poor people, you know, to begin to transform schools without closing them down. To see economic development happen not just in downtown but in people's living rooms and in their lives, to see development happen in people's neighborhoods. And we're not just talking about developing buildings, but we're talking about developing people and stabilizing families. I think it's important to give people a raft. And I think when people are living a decent quality of life and they have a decent education, the things that we want them to fight for, they will fight for. But people cannot struggle against the things that we think are unjust if their own individual lives are not the way they should be, if they're constantly looking for employment or food to put in their mouth, or their children are being killed by violence in the streets. We have to provide a raft for our people so they can begin to live a decent life and have a decent education and begin to engage the system politically and push America and the world to become more democratic, more inclusive, and more progressive for working people around the world, and specifically in Newark, New Jersey, where I live.
And that's a good note to, I wouldn't say end on, but to pause on until we have you back, because I want to talk about the book that you authored, which was dedicated to your sister. And I do know that I can see it now. Shorty for Mayor, Roz J. Baraka, candidate, ultimately mayor of Newark, New Jersey, ushering in a whole new progressive period. And I think we'll re-inaugurate as a poet laureate of Newark, somebody by the name of Imamu Amary Baraka. We really thank you for being so open and so gracious.
And talking of poetry, Mayor Baraka is poetry to my ear.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us, Roz J. Baraka, and good luck in your candidacy.
Thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.